The Hammer and Nigel Show. My name is Nigel. Jason Hammer right over there with a special guest of the DriveHugo.com hotline.
Investigative reporter for the Daily Signal and host of the Tony Kennett Show. Tony Kennett joins us. All right, Tony. So let's start with Nashville and the fallout of what happened, because the blame game happened quick. Even by political standards, the blame game happened quick. And what we're seeing is that the Tennessee legislature is taking a lot of heat from people like Karine Jean-Pierre, Joe Scarborough on MSNBC, the Tennessee lawmakers who said, we're going to pass a law that says if you're a minor, you can't have gender-changing surgery or puberty blockers or anything like that. All of a sudden, they've become the bad guys in this story, and I'm curious as to your thoughts.
Well, this is absolutely ridiculous. The idea that we are suggesting that giving someone gender-affirming care is going to make them mentally healthy, and then turn around and defend someone who clearly is mentally unhealthy, very unstable, went and shot little children in retribution for a law that Republicans passed. I'm not really sure I see the follow-through ideas here that a lot of the people on the left are trying to portray. It's one of the most gross and inhumane things that I've ever seen in media. And that's saying something, that we would blame Republican legislators for, I guess, bullying some transgender activist who isn't even affected by this law to go shoot children. And so therefore the victim is actually the shooter. What a horrible, horrible thing to say. And this is the flag that they are running with, that if you don't respect us by giving us exactly what we want legally, we'll shoot your children.
Bingo.
My God.
Bingo. That's what I'm taking away from this. It's a threat. Well, if you don't pass the legislation that we want, your children will be shot. What in the hell kind of message is that?
And there's really no honest way that you can look at this and say that it isn't a threat. I've been documenting a lot of the rhetoric from the Indy Star, the Indiana Capital Chronicle, other Indiana affiliate media over the last couple of weeks who've utilized language like targeting LGBTQ youth and absolutely destroying any LGBTQ child's chance at happiness. And they use this kind of language and this kind of rhetoric to emotionally rev up people who are very clearly mentally unstable and need help. Not given tons of hormonal drugs and regulatory type treatments, by the way, which I've been writing about for weeks, that are incredibly dangerous to the system. Here is very point blank evidence right in your face that says these kind of treatments are unhealthy, they're not natural, and we don't need to increase children's access to them.
Why do you think police have not released this so-called manifesto yet?
Well, I think that this manifesto very clearly illustrates, and by the way, we do have pieces of this.
Yes.
It basically says things like, if you go after our kids, we're going after yours, which is, again, the exact thing that we've been saying, that I've been saying since 2021. When you call someone a Nazi, fascist, whatever, if you tell a child that's who these people are and it's a life or death situation, don't be surprised when the child then turns around and commits mass acts of violence. In regards to the manifesto and Nashville police releasing it, there has been a lot of pressure from LGBTQ groups, Newsweek reported, and then got ratioed to oblivion, that LGBTQ groups said that releasing this manifesto would reflect rather negatively on the LGBTQ community, which I suppose is a way of saying, we know that we're wrong. We know our rhetoric is violent. We know that we are inciting these transgender activists to commit mass shootings, but we don't care. Don't release the manifesto.
So here in the state of Indiana, there's a bill on the desk of Governor Holcomb right now that in essence is kind of the same thing that Tennessee passed. Number one, should Governor Holcomb sign that? And number two, in light of what happened down in Nashville, do you think there's going to be some trepidation about passing laws like this, not only in Indiana, but in other states around the nation?
I do think that this sets a precedent for a lot of governors to think very carefully before they sign pieces of legislation like this, which is horrible. This actually accomplishes the goal of terrorism. Terrorism is violence that is acting to achieve a political aim. And that's exactly what this was. This was a terrorist attack against Republicans, against Christians, with the blood of little children, the daughter of that pastor. It just breaks my heart. And this horrible situation is being used to tell Republican legislatures and governors, if you pass bills that ban the mutilation of children, we will come after your children. And so I am waiting on I guess, with a lot of anticipation and a lot of anxiety, quite honestly, to see whether Governor Holcomb signs this bill. He should, but the ACLU has organized a rally on Saturday on the scheduled Trans Day of Vengeance for trans activists to storm the
Indiana State House. Let me stop you right there. What is this Trans Day of Vengeance? Somebody listening right now might not know what you're talking about.
So the Trans Day of Vengeance is an event that was set up by several different transgender activism groups in which there were supposed to be these rallies around the country in which basically transgender activists were supposed to show up and say, you know, if you plan to hurt us legally, we will fight you. And there are a lot of tweets and TikTok videos and certain other circumstances in which there are all of these pictures of transgender activists carrying weapons and basically suggesting that they're going to have weapons at these events. And now you have the Indiana ACLU kind of silently playing along and inviting people to have their own Trans Day of Vengeance here on April 1st, days after the shooting at the Indiana State House.
Tony Kennett from the Daily Signal here on the Hammer and Nigel show, this idea that trans genocide will happen if Governor Holcomb signs this bill. Does that hold any water whatsoever with you?
It scares me that they're using that kind of language, because when you tell people that there is going to be a genocide, when you tell people that Nazi fascists are walking around trying to murder them, they will respond with, in their mind, is considered equal violence. And by the way, we've seen this in several other highly charged political events in the last couple of weeks. I mean, we saw a student beaten half to death in Ohio because he refused to pledge allegiance to Black Lives Matter. We've seen several instances in which people's houses have been burned, Molotov cocktails thrown at pregnancy centers, all because these individuals who are mentally ill and need help are told instead that they need to respond violently to protect their lives, who, as you said earlier, are under threats of, quote, genocide, unquote.
How has this become a Republican issue? Because, again, going back to what I saw this morning, I saw ranting and raving by Joe Scarborough. We've seen the White House press secretary blaming Republicans for this. Correct me if I'm wrong, Tony, but if you look at the list of the recent mass shooters, whether it's school shooters or other mass shooters of some variety, you've got a lot of trans members, you've got a non-binary member, and I'm just going to go with a hunch here, a belly gut hunch. I don't think there's a lot of Trump and Republican voters among those school shooters. So how has this become the Republicans' fault?
It's become a Republican issue because they claim that because of the firearm, the assault weapons ban of 1994, that that somehow prevented mass shootings, which isn't true. And they suggest that since Republicans repealed that, all of the blood of all mass shootings, period, is on Republicans' hands. The issue with that claim, however, and they show a line, like a line going straight up after the weapon assault ban was repealed. You can also note, according to the data, that children's unfettered access to the internet has also skyrocketed in the time when that assault weapons ban was repealed, along with a lot of other mental health issues. It seems like, regardless of political affiliation, mental health as a result of unfettered access to the internet, you know, kids glued to phones, iPads, and computers, accessing the filth of humanity, is more likely to blame for these shootings than access to an AR-15.
So I'll ask you the same question that I've asked a couple of other folks. All right, if you're going to get on the internet, you're going to see some things. But is the media culpable in this? Because if you're on the internet, you're going to see what's put out by the media. The internet itself just provides a service. It's the media and it's other folks who put the information out there for you to digest.
So this is an interesting debate that I've had with a couple of individuals. I actually had a conversation with Tony Katz about this the other day, because there is a certain circumstance when someone from the alt-right or white supremacist shoots up a building, the left immediately goes and says, well, it's all of the conservative outlets to blame who said that left-leaning individuals were a threat. And now here we are with this transgender shooting, and a lot of people are claiming that it's left-leaning outlets that incited it. To me, I don't think that these media outlets are culpable. I think that what they are doing, though, is very irresponsible. And I point this out that Erika Herron from the Indy Star wrote a, quote, news piece, which tried to fearmonger trans members by saying that they're targeting transgender rights. When you tell people from a news piece, not an analysis, not a commentary, but a straight news piece that they are being targeted, you are going to get a response. And she knows that, and she does not care. She continues to do this. So culpable, I'm not sure, but does she definitely play a part in revving individuals up? Absolutely.
I think there's something bigger going on here in this country, Tony. I want to ask you, like 100 years ago, there per capita, there were a lot more guns in this country than there are right now. And this kind of thing wasn't happening. So we are broken, as Tony Katz said yesterday, we are broken as a society, aren't we?
I think we are. We have absolutely evaporated the common ties that bind all Americans together. There are, at this time in this country, two separate nations that are currently fighting for control. And of course, a lot of individuals say this is a call for national divorce. At this time, I certainly don't think so. But the American society as we knew it, where we believed that our fellow citizens had our best interest at heart, that age and that era is over. And honestly, I believe that it's due mostly to apathy. As a citizen of this republic, you out there that are listening right now, you are responsible for keeping this republic going, for maintaining the values of this country. Many have chosen the comfort and sitting at home and not caring about politics over the safety of this republic, and we're currently paying the price for it.
I want to get to your latest article that you're working on here in just a moment. But one more thing here before we move on. Does it make somebody a horrible person if you're done being nice to the people who want to either harm your children or put sex in front of your children? Because if you want to be transgender, knock yourself out. If you want to be gay, knock yourself out. If you want to be a freaking necrophiliac, I don't care.
Ew.
Knock yourself out. But as long as you're 18 and older and keep it, you know, indoors where nobody else can give a damn about it, that's fine with me. But when we start putting our kids involved here, and when kids start to be sexualized or groomed or threatened in any way, I'm tired of being nice. I don't think I'm the only one. Does that make me a bad person?
No, it doesn't. I don't know where the idea came that someone else gets to look at you and call you evil, super fascist, horrible Nazi, and on and on and on. And you just have to sit there, smile and say, I'm happy to work with you, because that kind of stuff happens at the Indiana Statehouse. Senator J.D. Ford is a horrible individual. He routinely calls people all sorts of horrible names that are his colleagues. He accuses Republicans of everything with the kitchen sink. But then you go to the Statehouse and people just treat him so nicely and respectfully. Like when you get to walk into the Statehouse, you get to throw all of the crap that you set out in public aside. No, if the left wants to call the right all of these horrible names, if they want to accuse us of all this, that, and the other, I think it is a foolish move to sit here and pretend that it's not actually that bad and we're going to be all respectful and kind and loving. That's not how you represent your constituents. And no, when children are involved, the gloves are off. I'm not going to sit here and idly stand by as children are told that they were born in the wrong body and they need surgeries and hormones that are going to wreck them for life.
What are you working on right now at the Daily Signal?
Well, just breaking this afternoon, there's a school district in Virginia, Spotsylvania, that has banned 14 sexually explicit books from their public school library. These are books that appear in a lot of Indiana public schools that have really, really horrible, horrible sections and excerpts fantasizing rape and incest very graphically. I cannot repeat 99% of these things on air. It's absolutely horrific stuff. Yet a lot of people on the left think that these books belong in high school libraries because I guess they have some kind of educational value of some point. And there is a new superintendent in town at Spotsylvania. He has sent these books off to the public library, so putting the onus of those books on the parents of those students, not the students themselves, and gets garbage content out of public schools. Very good move.
So he's not saying you can't read these. He's just saying you can't read them in the school.
Right. It's not a book ban. I'm told all the time that this is burning books and it's horrible. It's just like Fahrenheit 451, Nazis, fascists. And actually, it's just saying, you know what? I don't think that a detailed description of one boy giving oral sex to an old man is appropriate for a book in a public school library. If you want to put that, again, like what you said earlier, Hammer, if you want to put that over in the library for an adult to read on their own time, that's a different argument. But in front of public school children to check out at their leisure and read, that's highly inappropriate. It's not educational, doesn't belong in public schools.
Find his work at The Daily Signal. He's the host of The Tony Kennett Show on Twitter at TheTonus. Tony Kennett, thank you.
Thanks, Tony.
Thanks for having me on.
It's the Hammer and Nigel Show.